Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
If there's one thing that my family and friends know me for, it's being an amazing gift giver. I owe it all to Celebrations Passport from 1-800-Flowers.com, my one-stop shopping site that has amazing gifts for every occasion. With Celebrations Passport, I get free shipping on thousands of amazing gifts. And the more gifts I give, the more perks and rewards I earn. To learn more and take your gift giving to the next level, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.
So wonderful to have my mates on the podcast. Grace Timothy, author, beauty journalist, mum, extraordinary human, and my other buddy, Anita Bagwandas. Did I say that wrong already? How do you say it?
I mean, yeah, that is basically it. It's Anita Bagwandas.
Bagwandas. Okay, thank you. And I'm sorry to do that to you because whenever people are going to me, Guna Wardner, I'm always like, just move on. So apologies, Anita, if that elicited the same response. But you are also fellow beauty journalist, writer extraordinaire. We kind of were in the industry together like for ages, right?
Definitely, yeah.
Like at launches, seeing each other all the time. Like when did you start in the beauty industry?
I think so about 15 years ago, I was in fashion. And then segued into beauty when I realised I didn't know anything about fashion and I wasn't with the industry as a whole. I was really lucky to get a job at Glamour as I left a fashion job at Vogue. So, yeah, it's been about, I know, drop that one. That was about sort of two and a half, 3 years later. So, yeah, it's been a long time. Yeah.
I was just walking out of Vogue House one day and I accidentally stumbled into Glamour. Oh, my gosh.
It was crazy. But actually, I haven't done any beauty journalism. I haven't contributed anything since last June. So before lockdown, I was already on a semi-lockdown in terms of journalistic output because I've just been working on other stuff. So I almost feel like a bit of a fraud. But, yeah, it's there dormant.
We'll go with it. Yeah. And Anita, you and I have known each other for a million years, although it's probably around the same, what, 15, 16?
Well, I've been in beauty 10 years.
It's only 10?
Yeah. And before that, I was a features journalist. So, I sort of moved over. But, yeah, I think it's probably been about 10 years.
Yeah. Well, it's safe to say you are both my buddies. Grace, you've been on this podcast before. Anita, this is your first time, so welcome. I hope you have a great experience. But the reason I wanted to get you onto the podcast is because there's been a lot of discussion. There's been a huge dialogue in the last few weeks since the BLM movement really gathered pace, Black Lives Matter movement gathered pace. And there's been a real conversation within the beauty industry about inclusivity, diversity, and for me, what's really struck out is opportunity. And what you guys have put together, I think, is fantastic because it started with Grace. You started an inclusivity rider a little while ago.
Yeah.
And then in the last couple of weeks, you and Anita have been working together to create a directory. So I would just like, for the benefit of listeners who maybe not in the beauty industry, but maybe thinking about how they can contribute or make a difference in whatever industry they are in, that actually there are things that you can do. And I guess the best starting point, Grace, is for you to tell the story about how you came up with the idea of the inclusion rider.
Sure. So it was actually Frances McDormand had won her Oscar. And in her speech just said inclusion rider and then look it up. And I think everyone in the audience was kind of going, ah. And I did look it up. And essentially it's something that you would add to your contract that says, you know, if I'm going to work with you, then you need to make every effort to employ people from underrepresented groups all the way through, you know, your creative processes. So whether that's catering, makeup artists, production staff, co-stars, it needs to go through every single layer. And that's supposed to not encouraging tokenism, but encourage an open pipeline and an open set of opportunities for more people. And I was just like, that is like glaringly a problem in beauty, and we've known this for a long time. As a white woman, I was tackling it by trying to write articles about black beauty. So, you know, natural hair textures and that kind of thing. And I have a great insight via my sister who's black. But otherwise, you know, in time I realized it's absolutely not my job to write about black beauty. That was, you know, that was definitely a mistake. What my job should be is to open up opportunities and commission black writers to write about their area of expertise. So it was like a learning process. I was just like, if I can't keep contributing in the way I am, which I think is inappropriate, then I need to find a new way to open up opportunities for more people. And because I was doing a little bit more with Instagram by then in terms of campaigns and stuff, I mean, a very little, but still.
And was this because just when you last came on, we talked about your book, Mum Face, was this around the time that you were promoting your best-selling book, that one?
Definitely not best-selling, but yes. Yeah, it was. So off the back of my book and then Lost in Motherhood, which is the new version of the otherwise would have been best-selling novel, basically I was just getting a few more offers to do, whether it was beauty or just sort of lifestyle related content. And also just events and stuff like that. You know, every time you go on a panel, you look around you and it's not just the panel itself, it's the audience. You know, it's just everybody looks exactly like me. So I was just grappling with how to make that different. And I think because I grew up with a diverse mix of siblings and, you know, a kind of diverse friendship group and things, at certain stages of my life, I should say, there are certain stages where it was absolutely not like that. I was in a bubble of not realizing that actually once I got into my career, I was like, what is going on here? Like, this is insane. And this is an unnatural way of being. And then more recently, I interviewed this young lady for a feature that I did a couple of years ago now. And I kept up with her and she was a student. And she, when she had finished her degree, her plan was to become a journalist. So we stayed in touch. And she she's a black woman. She has really struggled to get work experience. When she's been on placement, she's found it very difficult. And there's been some quite uncomfortable experiences for her through that. And so I've also been trying to think, how do we open up the pipeline at a really early stage? Because as Anita will tell you, it is all you know, who you know after a certain point is what gets you your next opportunity. And if there's no door in, then, you know, how does anyone have a hope in hell of getting, you know, any further? And then I spoke to Anita and boom. Oh, can I also say that the inclusion rider and the document that accompanies it, which is a list of kind of best practice tips, was not me sitting on my own writing a list. Like, I am a middle-class white woman and I'm dripping in white privilege. It was actually a committee of other women from different backgrounds and ethnicities who helped me sort of phrase it and raise the points that were most important to consider. So it's not just me kind of going, this would be a perfect world. It's a whole group of people.
And how old is the inclusion rider? And when did you start? Did you start sending it out with when you were asked to write or appear on a panel or what have you?
Yeah, I think it's probably been about 18 months now. And to begin with, it was before I was sending it out, I was sending it to people that I hoped would help me with it, which again, now I realise I've, you know, put quite a lot of emotional labour at the door of people who are just kind of overwhelmed with all that right now. But thankfully, everyone was incredibly gracious. And I think it's now a more valuable document for the fact that all those people have advised on it. But yeah, it's been going, it's probably about 18 months, I'd say, yeah.
And what would you say has been the reaction ultimately to a white middle-class woman sending out an inclusion rider to, I'm guessing, predominantly white employers,
yeah,
and businesses? Has it been taken seriously?
I mean, I don't know what anyone is saying beyond email, because I'm only getting the kind of the email responses to it most of the time.
What vibe are you getting, Grace?
So the vibe has been good. The vibe has been quite considered, I'd say. I think that most of the emails that come back are quite, I think it puts people on edge a little bit sometimes. And I think that's a really good thing, because I think that means that you haven't considered it in the first place and you feel uncomfortable. That's good. I have to say, to name drop Superdrug, were one of the brands that I worked with, and I didn't even need to send it to them. I knew how they were approaching people. Yeah. And they were doing that. They've been doing brilliantly well. And they were like, yeah, of course. Like, sure, no worries kind of thing. And it was an amazing thing, because it was like, yeah, of course you know already, of course you're doing this. But yeah, other brands have struggled. I get a lot of, okay, fine, but who would you suggest that we approach then? Or I get, well, yeah, sure, that's fine, but we have approached other people and they've said no. So then I would go back and say, why have they said no? Do you know, have you kind of considered how, you know, your setup is? Is it appropriate? Is it comfortable? Is it welcoming? And is it inclusive? But I have to say there was one event I did where it all worked perfectly and the panel was diverse and it was really good. It was going really well. And then someone within the panel afterwards said, this is great, but did you look at the audience? And it was, you know, it was 200 white women. And then we've got to look at why. Why are these things not appealing and why are they not inclusive as a product as well? So it's going to take a long time. And I'm not kind of, what's the word, sort of overly unrealistic about it. I know it's not perfect and it is going to encourage box ticking to an extent. But I think it's a step, hopefully, towards something. It's even if it grows into something else and someone takes it over and does something amazing with it, whatever happens, I feel like we have to do something.
And so Anita, let's talk about your story, because as you said, you were a feature writer before, then 10 years ago you segued into beauty, where you are incredible. You know how I feel about your writing and about your point of view. Have you felt what is your background, what is your ethnicity, and do you feel that that has ever played a part in your ability to move forward or not move forward in this industry?
Yes. So my background and ethnicity, I am South Indian. I'm also Welsh. I think it definitely has played a part. So interesting. When I got my first beauty job at Stylist magazine about 6 months after it launched, at this point I'd interviewed for about 15 different jobs for like various beauty assistants. Sometimes I would go in and they would like barely look at my CV. I felt like they were sort of box ticking a bit and they needed to just get like one brown person in to sort of be like, okay, we've been diverse. I was getting really upset about it because I was like, gosh, is it me? Is it me? What am I doing wrong? But, you know, when I sort of realized that actually I had exactly the same, if not much better qualifications than the other people getting these jobs, I was just like, God, something else is going on here. But it's hard because you can never prove that for a start, which is one of the biggest issues with this sort of discrimination. You can never prove it. And if you do say something, people just think you're, it's, you know, sour grapes, or you are being overly sensitive. And I guess you're sort of gaslighted into thinking that, you know, it's not, you know, it's your fault. But so basically I got my first job at Stylist and everything sort of took off from there. But I was really lucky in that they really saw me and were the only people willing to take a chance on me, really.
And so, like, as we say, since then you've gone on to do great things. You've written for everyone pretty much.
Yeah, I mean, I've worked on lots of the big glossy fashion magazine, which is, you know, quite something in itself because most of them are all white. Moving through the industry has been trickier. It has been harder for me. Again, I'd be hard pressed to sort of prove that because you can't always prove these things. But I know, because I know when somebody else has been hired for that job that I've gotten down to the final two for, I know that my skills are, you know, maybe even better. I know it's a weird thing to say, but like, you know, I know that I in theory should have been able to get that job, but there is another factor at play. And it's, you know, it's taken me a long time to kind of come to that place because I always just used to blame myself, and I always had this sort of feeling of being allowed to be in the industry, and, you know, just even being in it was a sort of, you know, I'd been let into this sort of white woman's club, and that's how I kind of felt throughout most of my career until I went freelance actually sort of a year and a half or so ago and actually stepped back and went, well, it just sort of, it gave me the chance to look at everything and sort of just see how I'd been treated and sort of really assess what had been going on and actually give me a bit of space to realise what had been happening, basically.
I hope you don't mind me saying this, but obviously you and I had a really long phone call last week, and you did say you look back now and wonder if there are times when you should have spoken up.
Yes, there were times when I was treated poorly, and you know, lots of people would have done something wrong, but I would get the blame for it. Or, you know, I was quite often sort of scapegoated. There was one job in particular where a member of, you know, the team just seemed to really hone in on me in sort of quite a bullying manner. And I was just, at the time, I was kind of like, I felt like I was just trying to cling on to my job, because I was still in this mindset of being lucky to get into this world, to be allowed into this world. And I just clung onto my job and I didn't tell anyone. And I feel like I've spent my whole career doing that, actually. And so to be able to step back and look at it now is actually quite, I don't know, it's quite, I sort of feel quite sad for myself, if I'm honest. I sort of feel quite sad for sort of like baby Anita trying to be a beauty editor. And, you know, I feel sad that I couldn't speak up.
This is why I think that what you guys have done together is actually really wonderful, and I really appreciate it, because actually what you said is, and obviously I don't know the full story, but at some point you two have spoken and you've said, right, well, this is about opportunity. This is about making sure that it's a level playing field. And therefore we're going to create this directory that represents underrepresented people within the beauty and within the media. And we're going to make sure that they are all seen and that they can all be found easily. So there's no excuse for a photo shoot to happen and for an editor to say, well, it's an entirely white middle-class team because those are the only people that we know. So tell me a little bit about the conversation that happened, which I'm guessing is quite recent, and how it then turned into this new directory.
Oh, so I think it happened very organically, but I had just had a break off Instagram during the whole sort of week that, you know, the Black Lives Matter sort of, you know, protesting it's not, you know, it's obviously always been here, but it's only now that people are listening. Some people are listening. And then when I came back, I thought, do you know what? I could put a post up here that is like, I'm going to do more, or, you know, here's, you know, I can make it all about myself, or actually, do you know what? I can make this about other people and how I'm going to help the next generation. And help all those people who've been trying to break into an industry like I was. I'm going to help try and elevate them. So that was where I was coming from. And I just put a post up on Instagram and I was like, here are some amazing, you know, women of color who can help you with your photo shoots, or, you know, you can commission, or you can, if you need a hairstylist for something, then here they are. So I did a bit of a list and then I asked people to just tag themselves underneath that post. And I didn't really know what to expect or anything. I sort of just left it. And then people were tagging other people. People were tagging friends. And there seemed to be a huge amount of resonance around it. And then I think we spoke, Grace, didn't we? Because I already knew what Grace was doing with the Inclusivity Rider and thought that was awesome. And then we sort of had a bit of a conversation about it, didn't we?
Well, I just jumped on you because I was like, yes, because I've been looking for somewhere to help. Like these women that basically, you know, I'm sure Anita is the same. You get a lot of young people passed your way via your parents or your family who want to be in journalism. And, you know, down here, there's a lot of middle-class white girls who want me to get them internships and things. And, you know, fine. And I've been doing that for years. And it wasn't until, you know, I spoke to this one young woman who's struggling to get in there, this black lady, that I was like, yeah, I'm for some reason it's not happening this time. It's not working at all. And I don't understand why. And anyway, so I was thinking we need to find a way of there being these young people who can register their interest. And so instead of the internships going to me and my friend, you know, that I've known since I was six or whatever, it should be going to people who deserve it. And it should be open. It shouldn't be who you know, not what you know kind of thing. And so I jumped on Anita and was like, can I put my inclusion rider with your directory, please? So it was definitely, it was just simmering away and I hadn't thought at all about a directory or anything. Anita had this brilliant idea and I was like, well, can I also add this to it? Because I think the inclusion rider, you know, a lot of people haven't really wanted to use it and it hasn't necessarily got a lot of airtime. So it was a kind of an opportunity to combine these two tools, I thought.
I also think as well with the inclusion rider, it can be really hard in this industry and it can be very competitive. So if a brand comes to you and says, we want you to host a panel or we want you to be involved in X, Y, or Z, it can be so hard to get your foot in that door that to then say, oh, I'd love that, but here's something that might actually make you not work with me. I think that can be really scary to people. And I'm admitting that as somebody who would probably think that.
I think you have to go in knowing that they'll, you know, there's a 50-50 chance that they'll say no, thank you then.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I've worked very little this year. And that's that. Do you know what I mean? It's the case. I've also worked with some brands that I feel completely happy to endorse and work with because they took to it and understood it and embraced it. So, I mean, to me, yeah, I'm you know, the coffers are not full, but I feel better about what I'm doing. And I think, do you know what? It's really difficult for me to talk about it because I don't want to center this around me and my experience. I just want the inclusion.
It is relevant though, Grace.
Yeah, I think
Don't minimise it, please.
Well, it's important for other white people who do want to use it to understand that it will impact your employment for sure. But if we keep using it and keep using it, then eventually it won't, because everybody will be used to that being a standard practice in, you know, their contractual agreements, hopefully.
That's actually, can I just jump in? That is actually quite an interesting point, because it can be, it is hard enough for women of colour to get a foot in the door, but then, you know, to turn around and be like, can you make sure all these other people are in it, can be really tricky. So it is really crucial that white women who, you know, have the biggest voices, particularly in our industry, in the beauty industry, are really stepping up to the plate, and that brands aren't, you know, not hiring people because, you know, they want, because the people they're approaching want a better world. You know, that's an admirable thing. Those are the kinds of people you should be approaching. Those, you know, people with morals and people with integrity are the people that brands should be approaching. So I'm hoping that this sort of sea of change is going to help brands actually see that and, you know, help those decision makers actually encourage people.
So what feedback and what interest have you had so far? Like, what's been, since you put the directory post up on Instagram, what's been coming at you?
Well, just lots of people wanting to get involved. So I think there sometimes might be a bit of confusion about who it's for, but it's literally for anyone who wants to be a part of it. You know, we are not betting things or anything like that. It is not edited. We're also not, we're not sort of, what's the word I'm looking for?
Screening or interviewing or?
Yeah, none of that. You know, we're not screening people or anything like that. So, you know, if you are an employer looking to hire a freelancer and you use our list, you do need to go through all your usual checkpoints, but it is just a resource, because it's that classic thing, Emma, what you said a few minutes ago, when people say, oh, but there weren't any people. And, you know, you do look at the agency books, you do look at the hairstylist agencies, or, you know, the makeup artist agencies, and there aren't that many people of colour on them, but we know they're out there. They're just not getting the recognition or enough of the celebrity clients or, you know, whoever it is to get on those big books. But actually, here is the list. We have done the work for you. There are no more excuses. And I think that's the sort of reasoning behind it.
And I also think as well, it's what you've both said is about opportunity. So I think a lot of people have gone away and thought about how they can contribute to this in a positive way, realizing that maybe they've been unwittingly contributing towards a bad situation. And for me, it comes back to, I had John McAvoy on the podcast recently. And he's nothing to do with the beauty industry, but he was talking about, basically, you only know what you see. And if there are minorities who don't see a clear path to being in the media, which, let's face it, is represented as being a really cool thing to do and a really cool job to have on TV all the livelong day, then it's about, well, can I turn my focus on young kids who maybe need to see what someone who works in the media looks like? and maybe offer mentoring? Because I feel personally, I don't know if Anita, if you feel like this, I'm brown skinned, but I'm light brown skinned. And so I feel like I've already had lots of opportunities and I've already done pretty okay. Like, I don't feel that I have anything to really complain about. So what I should be doing is looking around at the people who are behind me and helping them and showing them the way. And I don't know, is that kind of what the director was born out of?
Yes, yeah, definitely. I think it is. It's just about elevating anyone that we can. And that's something I'm really big on. And, you know, I do think we need to try and lift up that next generation. So, you know, within our sort of generation of beauty editors, you know, it is quite sort of, I don't quite know how to phrase this, but very, very white privilege. And, you know,
Grace is nodding, listeners. Grace is nodding.
And it'd be really nice to just set things, well, get things changing basically for the next few generations and to make it, you know, inclusive.
And also the directory, who does it cover? Let's just be really clear about this, because it isn't just about brown and black skins, is it?
It's not, no. Grace is actually slightly more eloquent on explaining this than I am.
No, well, just so with the inclusion rider, from my experience base and the people that I was working with, it was definitely about black women. I felt really stupid when I kind of realised that obviously there are so many other groups that were being entirely underrepresented within our industry. And the inclusion rider that I found online that I then adapted, which was just, it's an American law firm who have created it for the studio industry. And it included LGBTQ communities and anyone with disabilities. When I sort of started to investigate that, I also diversified my Instagram feed and, you know, just to try and find the communities that were out there that were trying to work, not necessarily in beauty, but in media. For people with disabilities, it's a huge issue with access even. Something so simple that you've held your beauty launch in a place that's up three flights of stairs, or, you know, there aren't enough toilets around, or it's just such inhumane and ridiculous small things that can completely screw with someone's career, essentially, and opportunity. So I investigated it really from that point forward. And I think it's really difficult because obviously, particularly with disability, these things aren't always visual. You can't always, you know, immediately understand and know what they are. So I think we all just need to be better educated. And I hope that the inclusion rider in particular will be the first step for brands to think, I don't even know like who I'm helping or who I'm trying to help here. Who is out there? What do I need to know? And I think that's the thing, is looking beyond your able-bodied, cisgendered woman who walks in and is very straightforward, takes a glass of champagne, writes about your product, la-di-da, like how lovely. You know, it shouldn't be about that anymore. And it's, you know, it's boring. So, yeah, I think in terms of all the different groups, it's really, 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 really difficult to know even when to start and when to stop. At the moment, we hope that these groups will be helpful and will grow a different community of beauty writers and artists and all that kind of thing. But, you know, we're still learning, I think, constantly. I mean, I think Anita, you know way more about this than I do, but I feel like we're both, you know, I check in with Anita a lot, and apologies for that, but just being like, wait, what about this? And, you know, it's not like there's anyone who's just given us a guidebook and been like, right, this is how you are going to help. This is how your tiny corner is going to contribute in some way. I mean, I'm also very ready that I'm going to screw it up and some people are going to be offended and it's going to hurt some people. And you know, I just need to hopefully respond to that as sensitively and tactfully and carefully as possible and learn and grow from it. But yeah, I mean, the whole thing is going to receive criticism at some point, I'm sure.
I think the threshold for criticism has actually increased in a positive way, in the sense of it's okay, it's permissible at the moment to make mistakes if you're trying to move in the right direction. I think course correction is actually, it's not, there's not going to be a cancel culture around it, you know? It's like, oh, I screwed up. I see now why that was wrong. I'm going to move in this direction. I feel like it's mistake making is actually almost understood to be a part of the process.
Yeah, definitely. I think as well, it feels like the industry is a little bit more receptive to feedback now, because I, for quite a while now, have not been coming to launches that feature all white panels, which is something that happens a lot in our industry. You know, you turn up to an expert panel and it's just like five white people. And I just don't think that's acceptable. And I've refused to come to launches for that reason. I've said, you know, this is why I'm not coming, blah, blah, blah. And I sort of feel like people have been a bit like, you know, they haven't really acknowledged it really, or they've just probably taken me off their list. And, you know, that's fine. But it does feel now that people are starting to actually take that feedback and do something positive with it, which is good.
Yeah, I was involved in an event last year, and I remember them saying to me at some point, you know, we've really considered the optics of this. And I sort of like left the room and thought, oh, that's what they meant.
Not those drinking things.
Yeah, and I thought, is that a good thing or is that a bad thing? That they're like, I don't know.
Well, the optics makes it sound like it's just a visual thing, and it's not. It's about your background, and it's about the different experience you bring to things. You know, my experience of beauty is completely different to yours and to Grace's. It's like we all come at things with different experiences, but we need to know about those other people's experiences of the world.
Yeah.
So it's not just about, you know, the colour. It's about people's different journeys.
And you mentioned actually that the Inclusion Rider was born of Frances McDormand's Oscar acceptance speech. Now, Frances McDormand is 63, which brings me on to age and being older in the media and in the beauty industry, and how, I mean, I can think of people who, when I started in this industry, were in their late 50s, early 60s, and it almost became a little bit of a joke of every time there was a redundancy, you'd be like, well, they're going to get offered it. A little sort of people, it has felt like age does phase people out of this industry in a way that just would be illegal in other businesses, for example. Illegal, or, you know, HR would definitely be rattled if it was done in the same way. And so what about age inclusivity?
I think, well, in terms of the Inclusion Rider, Nadine actually got in touch with me about this, because I said,
oh, that surprises me.
Yeah, bless her. I sent her the rider and was like, what do you think? And she was like, yeah, you know, you need to think more in depth about different body shapes, which we had touched on, but we touched on it basically, and maybe need to go more in depth with it. And she was like, what about the age? And I was like, yeah, it's really, 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 really difficult. And so we've got a sort of thing that is within our best practice tips, which is about, you know, if you're an editor, have you considered all of the following groups when you're writing a feature or when you're looking at interviews? And that does include, you know, visibility of people over the age of 40. But also you've got to think of that as within every group that we've already mentioned. So people with disabilities who are over 40, you know, people of colour who are over 40. And I think there's so many nuances. One of the LGBTQ consultants that I worked with was saying it's all very well, you know, having all these amazing features on same-sex couples, for example, in parenting. But that's always the focus, is their sexuality. Why can't we just feature people who happen to be married to people of the same sex or in same-sex relationships? And that's not the focus. The focus is on our achievement or, you know, whatever. So I think age comes into that thing of the nuances of each issue and each group. And I think also if you think of, you know, white women over the age of 40 have much greater visibility than any of the other groups that are over 40, to be honest. So I think it's all part and parcel of the same thing.
I would say, to be honest, I think 40 doesn't really cover it for me, because I think I'm thinking about retirement age, and I think I'm thinking of what happens when you're over 50, when you're 55 plus. What if you want to work until you're 65? Will you get booked if you're a 62-year-old makeup artist? Will you get booked to do a shoot? Or will it be, you know, the younger,
next young thing? Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Sorry, go on.
I just feel like that sucks, because if you look at some of the big, big photographers like Testino, Patrick, they don't retire out. They still get all the big gigs. Annie Leibovitz.
Patrick gets like a little nap, doesn't he? Midway through. I heard. I think that it seems to me from the outside that it's an easier moving leg of the movement, if you know what I mean. So, you know, we're very happy to put Judi Dench on the cover of a magazine. We know that icons of our industry don't necessarily stop working after a certain age. I think it is difficult, but I think it has to be part of the inclusivity rider as a bigger issue. Mm. And I think to, you know, at the moment we seem to be seeing a lot of women over the age of 40. And again, I'm sorry, but they are white predominantly. And I think that that seems to have gathered pace more quickly than the representation of any other group. Maybe I'm completely wrong and I'm seeing it more than I'm seeing the other things.
Where are you talking about you're seeing it?
Well, I suppose because I'm not shooting, so I'm not seeing necessarily groups of people and all that kind of thing. And definitely the campaigns I've worked on haven't been with a huge age range of people. I'm always the oldest, to be fair.
But how old are you now, Grace?
I'm just heading towards 37-ish.
You need to stop now. You're speaking to a 42-year-old woman. Own your 37, right?
Over the age of 30 is tricky, no? This is what I feel.
No, the best is yet to come, honestly. Anita, how old are you now?
35.
Yeah, baby. Look at that collagen.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's maybe what I mean more is the representation of women over a certain age seems to be gathering pace, and it's not just like Saga magazine or whatever. Do you know what I mean? It's something that has been more. I mean, Helen Mirren is all over everything, and she's become this sort of like go-to for. Oh well, Helen will be do however many covers in a year or whatever, and it'll be brilliant. But it's not enough, and it's and I'm sure she would say the same thing. It's, you know, it's kind of one palatable section of the inclusivity thing somehow. And I feel like it has to all be part of the same thing, no matter how old you are.
I do think the age thing has become slightly more complicated, because when we were kids, over 50 was the Golden Girls. Now over 50 is J-Lo up a pole. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that makes me question.
I mean, goodness me.
Also, what I would say is that in terms of the directory, we've obviously just started this. We are going to add more to it as we go along. At the moment, we're sort of looking more at beauty and trying to get everyone who is sort of within that. But, you know, we will extend it out and we will keep evolving it. It's just a case of trying to get everyone from one sort of, you know, category in it, and then we'll go to the next one, and we are going to keep evolving it. So, yes, watch this space. Mm.
Well, like I said, I think it's brilliant. I know, Anita, that you took a bit of a break. I think it got quite intense. And when you came back to social and you said, right, and you tagged me and you called me a beauty editor and podcaster, which is really flattering, and you called me out and various other people, I think to take a moment and use it to elevate other people as well as yourself is, you're my friend, but it made me very pleased to be your mate. So I just think it's really admirable. And Grace, I think what you're doing as well is fantastic. And it's brilliant that you two have joined forces. So listeners, if you have listened to this conversation, you think you would either like to find out a bit more about what Grace and Anita are doing, then the links to find the directory and their social media will be in the show notes. Or if you just want to maybe, I mean, you guys are open to DMs, right?
Yeah, totally.
So if you want to just chat to them about how you can maybe apply their thinking to your own situation, which might not be the media, might not be anything to do with beauty, but they are awesome people who I'm sure will give you some of their time. But yeah, I really appreciate what you guys have done, and I really appreciate that I asked you like 2 hours ago if you could speak to me today, and you did.
There was never going to be any other answer. It's just really kind of you to have us on. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Well, do you know what? I actually went to my bookcase, my colour-coded bookcase, and I got your book out, Grace. And I looked at the inscription, because I do like an inscription. So, Anita, when you write your book, thank you very much, which we've talked about.
Yes.
I want an inscription, please. And Grace's, yours was because the last time you came on this podcast, you talked about writing in a shed and about how it was all very 50 Shades of Grey. And your inscription to me was, this is very nearly a sex book.
That really went off on a tangent, didn't we? I'm glad we didn't do that today.
Yeah. We stayed very much on message, which is lovely. So I will be putting the links to all of your social, your book, Grace, and anything that you want me to include, Anita, just let me know. And what would be wonderful, actually, is maybe if we could revisit this conversation in a little while, and you can tell me about the progress that's been made and about any feedback you've been getting and how you've been able to apply it so it can help people listening who, again, might not be in the media, but would just be interested to see what kind of progress can be made if you do make a stand and say, right, this is how things should be done from now on, and this is who should be included in things moving forward.
Amazing.
Thank you so much. Bye. We'll be right back.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Spin your passion into a business with Shopify and break sales records with the world's best converting checkout. Let's hear that one more time. The world's best converting checkout. Shopify's legendary checkout makes it easier for customers to shop on your website, across social media, and everywhere in between. Now that's music to your ears. Any way you spin it, you can be a smash hit with Shopify. Start your $1 a month trial today at shopify.com/records.